WKNR presents
the Keter13.com podcast.
Welcome to an all-request edition of the Keter 13 podcast. I'm Scott Westerman, and this week we dip into the mailbag and answer your requests about jingles, music, comedy, and more. We'll also meet a fellow broadcaster who is also a podcaster. All that and more on this week's Keter Podcast.
Motor City Music.
Michelle Davis writes from Grosse Pointe, Michigan, requesting the Scott Regan version of this famous Edwin Starr smash, which went top 15 on Keter this week in 1966. Stopper on Sight peaked at number 12 on the WKNR Music Guide 39 years ago this week. But equally popular was the Scott Regan version, requested by Keener podcast listener Michelle Davis. It turns out that this version got a second lease on life in the discotheques of Europe in the 1980s and was released on a British CD entitled Floor Packin'. If you search the web, you can still find the original 45 released on the Rick Tick Records label.
More Motor City Music. WKNR.
And now to Washington, D.C., where Jeremy Rappaport asked to hear his hometown band's version of a top three Keener hit made popular by the Outsiders. Here is the Pie Tasters version of Time Won't Let Me.
I can't wait forever. Let me.
Those are the Pie Tasters, an eight-piece soul ska band hailing from the nation's capital. Thanks to Jeremy Rappaport for his Keener podcast request.
Keener 13, WKNR.
We received a lot of email about our All Jingle extravaganza and our interview with jingle preservationist Ken R. Ken sells CDs of classic radio jingles at his KenR.com website and provides us with all the WKNR logos you hear on the Keener 13 podcast. Several of you wrote to ask how jingles are made, so here's a quick three-minute lesson. Jingles, those short 5 to 10 second logos that identify a product in a way that ensures that you don't forget it. The best jingles are short, to the point, and usually consists of no more than 8 notes, like this.
YMCA Radio.
When you think of jingles that work, like It's the Real Thing or Plop, Plop, Fizz, Fizz, you begin to understand how elegantly a simple jingle can be.
YMCA
Radio.
So how are jingles made? Well, it all starts with the logo. The most common is the standard radio logo. Hundreds use that logo. Some use that one and still others use that one. Once you have a logo, you can wrap a variety of music beds around it. Radio stations use these beds to promote programming, report the weather, or just take you from a slow song to a fast song, or vice versa. In the old days, the music was recorded using authentic instrumentation. But today, many of the jingles you hear use synthesized backgrounds like this, recorded using a Korg Triton keyboard. The Korg can simulate hundreds of different instruments and has a sequencer function that allows you to layer the various voices into a complete performance. Recording technology has changed, too. During the heyday of the Jingle Jungle, studios used 2-inch wide analog recording tape, offering 24 different tracks. Today, the number of tracks is virtually unlimited, and content is digitally recorded on computers, and the final mix is copied directly to a compact disc. Here's how you make a multi-track recording. You start with a rhythm section. This one consists of drums, bass, and a couple of guitars. Then you layer in the lead guitar. And then you bring in the background vocals. Add a few more elements, and pretty soon you have your final mix, which sounds like this. And that's how jingles are made. If you want to order your own set of Keener jingles, point your browser to KenR.com. But do it soon. KenR announced his retirement recently and will close up shop shortly.
WKNR, Motor City Memory.
And now we go across the pond to Great Britain, where Keener fan Adrian Grant requests the follow-up to Lulu's number one hit, To Sir With Love. It went top 10 on Keener this week in 1970.
To make you laugh, I'd play the fool for you. Although the people turn and stare, I'd give my everything to keep you, boy. Oh, it breaks my heart when you're not there. I'll stage a ballet on a tabletop, command performance, finger size. Though I ain't got no tune, my show won't flop. 'cause I'll find the music in your eyes. Pour me all night, I'm a fool for you, baby. We'll blow a genie from a cigarette. We'll take a magic carpet ride. We'll tell our smoky friend, now don't forget, you must keep us side by side. Hold me, oh my, I'm a fool for you, baby.
That's Lulu, is heard on WKNR the first week of March, 1970. Thanks to Adrian Grant for that request. If you have something you'd like us to play on the Keener podcast, click the contact link at www.keener13.com, and we'll plug you right in. About 6 weeks back, we featured a fellow by the name of Jeff Bird, who stole the title of a Bob Lind Keener classic and made it all his own. We've had several requests to play his version of Elusive Butterfly again, and your wish is our command.
WKNR!
Imagination is my friend. Because you never give it up in bed. Girl, you're 27 shades of gray. But you appear in Technicolor the next day. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, flutter by. You're an elusive butterfly, to watch you fly. I'm a butterfly. To think I thought that I would capture you. Your complications make it hard to do. You want emancipation, fly away. Fly away, baby. Another girl by Sunday. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, flutter by. You're an elusive butterfly, and I like to watch you fly, oh, flutter by. Flutter by. You're an illusion. butterfly, and I like to watch you fly.
That's a great tune. Jeff Bird's version of Elusive Butterfly can be found at GarageBand.com.
Podcast Pick.
WKNR. We're on the air 3 minutes.
Hold this, please.
60 seconds live. Stand by. 4, 5, and 6.
Don't forget to put your earphones on.
Here's the microphone.
Is this thing on?
30 seconds.
Everybody hear me? Hello? Check. That better?
Come on now, folks. Break it up and settle down.
10 seconds.
Okay, let's get this show rolling. Stand by, everybody. We're on in 5.
And cue ID.
Spanning the globe via the internet, this is the Radio Brothers Podcast.
Ray Edwards is truly the real name of an honest-to-goodness broadcast professional who records a podcast. The Radio Brothers Podcast at RadioBrothers.com has all the ingredients of an excellent terrestrial radio show. It's entertaining, it's relevant, and it's addictive. I asked Ray how long radio had been his passion.
Since I was 14 years old, this is what I've been doing. I did something else for 2 years and decided that I was really just not suited for a real job.
It really is an addiction, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no getting away from it. I mean, once you've really been, I hate to use an overused phrase, but once you've been bitten by the bug, you just can't seem to get away from it.
For you, that was in 1979.
Well, I started when I was living in the Southeast, which is where I was born and raised. And my first job was at a little station in a town called Harrogate, Tennessee, which wasn't, I don't know if it was really officially a town at that time. But I worked for a little daytime radio station at AM, obviously, at 740. WSVQ. I think it's owned by the university now. Lincoln Memorial University is located there, and I think they own the station now.
And you're now in management.
Yeah, I don't know when I crossed over to the dark side. I think it was piece by piece.
Took an immediate pay cut, right, when you went off hourly to go into leadership?
Yeah, it's. I don't know who said this, but I read a great quote one time that said, if you work really hard and you're very good at your job, you work 40 hours a week and you do a great job, you get to be management. And that means that you get to work 60 hours a week and still work very hard. And if you're really, really good at being management, eventually you'll get a chance to work 80 to 100 hours a week by being either upper management or ownership. So I don't do the calculation on the hourly wage because I think it would probably just be too depressing.
So the Radio Brothers Podcast, is that your way to play in the sandbox?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a while since I've been on the air. I mean, my job now is more training and working with program directors, and we're a small company, so I get to roll up my sleeves and hang out with the jocks quite a bit. But when I first stumbled across podcasting, the word hadn't even been invented yet. It was I think June of 2004, and I happened to Dave Weiner was sending some MP3 attachments across, and my aggregator, for whatever weird reason, was picking them up, and I couldn't figure out why, and so I listened and did a couple of my own and didn't really understand what it was we were doing at first. But since then, yeah, it's definitely been my way to get in the sandbox, great terminology, and play and have a good time and not worry about whether I was saying something that was going to make a client upset or an advertiser or the FCC, or although I've never, I was never a shock jock.
Does your company know that you're doing this?
Yeah, and that's a very interesting question, because it was only after we had been doing the podcast for a little while and our listenership started to pick up that I started thinking about the fact that I wonder what my boss would think about this if he knew about it. And it turns out that just about the time I was getting ready to call him and say, I think I should probably tell you about something I'm doing that really I feel is separate from our company, but you probably should know about it, when he brought it up to me. And he had stumbled across some article on some industry website about podcasting and started doing some Google searching, and you know what? He's really excited about it. And I think that's one of the neat things about our company. And, of course, I should give you this disclaimer. My podcast, the Radio Brothers podcast, that's all very separate from my professional life and does not reflect the views of the management and ownership of New Northwest Broadcasters, its affiliates, or assigns. You know, we're fortunate enough to work with the kind of people that can see the potential in something like this. And his questions all were about, well, what do you think this means for radio, and is there a way that we can use this to, you know, give better service to our audience and, you know, market our stations to listeners? Is this a way to get, he was asking all the right questions, you know, is this a way to get our radio station onto iPods instead of having to compete with them? Can we be in that medium as well? Which I thought was very insightful. That's what more radio people should be thinking about.
Is there another Radio Brother?
Well, and it is a question that comes up. Here's what happened. When we started doing it, my brother had left his radio gig here in the Northwest, and he was staying with us for a short period of time. And so we set up a little makeshift studio in the basement and started doing, you know, playing around with the podcasting idea. Well, since then, he's moved across country. He's in South Carolina and pursuing some of his own job opportunities and things like that, and doing some voiceover work. And it's just been really difficult for us to, you know, hook up and do a podcast together. But, you know, the fact is I'd already registered the domain name, and that's what everybody knew us as. And so I talked to him about it, and we just decided to leave it that way. And if he can jump in and be part of it, he will. And if not, then oh well.
How often do you do the show?
Well, not as often as I would like, and especially lately. It's been a couple of weeks. It started out as kind of a, you know, every other day or so sort of thing, and it's kind of tapered off. And now it's gotten to the point that I do it when I really feel like I've got some, you know, interesting content, at least interesting to me. It's very strange. In a way, it's much like traditional radio because, and you know this, when we go into a traditional terrestrial radio studio and we're broadcasting, you know, we're really inside a little room all by ourselves and imagining the people that we're talking to. And podcasting, I think, very much is the same sort of thing, and that's why I think it appeals to radio guys so much. Somebody once said that most radio personalities are introverted extroverts. They love to be the life of the party and the really funny center of attention in a room by themselves.
They don't want anybody to see them.
And in many cases, that's probably a wise choice.
How do you select the music that you play?
I go to GarageBand.com, and this is interesting because I was not listening to a lot of music that didn't come from the major record labels just because I didn't have time. It wasn't a priority for me. We all have the same amount of time, so I hate it when people say they don't have time. We all have time to do what's important to us. But when I started doing the podcast, I wanted to play music, and, you know, it's one of those issues that we all sort of dance around and wonder, well, if I play something that's licensed through the RIAA, am I going to get into trouble? And the answer is probably yes, even though I've crossed the line myself a few times. I don't anymore, and I addressed that in one of the more recent Radio Brothers podcasts. But to get back to your question, I go to GarageBand.com, and I listen to music, and I find things that I like that I think are, you know, interesting or funny or touching or just something that I would, you know, that I like listening to myself. And then I double check what the rights are. If it's Creative Commons license, that's fantastic because then you know exactly what you're allowed to do with it. And if it's not, I'll send an email to the artist or to the band if I want to play their music. And by the way, if anybody's listening who has music on GarageBand.com, please go ahead, if you want your stuff played on podcasts, go ahead and post that Creative Commons license because it really shortens up the process. There are times that I've just skipped over songs and completely forgotten about them because even though I liked them, I didn't want to go through the hassle of trying to track down the artist or the band and get their permission to play it when there was something else more readily available. So, you know, again, it's like the early days in radio when disc jockeys listened to lots and lots of music, and they played the things they liked. That's pretty much the process that I go through. I think that's true for most podcasters.
You also do a blog about the radio industry called RadioXFactor.com. When did you inaugurate that one?
Oh, boy. I think that was in 2003.
So that came first.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I'd been playing around with a personal blog, and I don't know, just one day, you know, I had that epiphany that I should do something like this and just make it about radio. And that's what I did. And that was about the time that TypePad came on the scene, which is the commercial hosted version of movable type. And really, you know what, an incredible tool. Nowadays, when anybody asks me, how do you start a blog, that's what I point them to. Although, I wish they had direct support for podcasting. They don't, and that makes it a little bit more complex for people who want to get into podcasting. Although FeedBurner now is a great service that you can add onto your TypePad service and do your own podcast using that tool. I noticed that you have a nice little tutorial on your site about how to podcast.
What do you think of that? Have I missed anything?
No, I don't think so. And this, by the way, the site overall, I'm really impressed by. It's funny. I actually knew about you for some time because I know Adam Curry had some nice things to say about Keener13.com, and which I really thought, what a fantastic concept. And obviously, I'm a big fan of radio, and I love AM radio, and I love the Beatles and Motown, and hey, I got family in Michigan, so. How could I not like Keener13.com?
Thanks.
Well, you do a fantastic job, and what a great collection of photos and memorabilia you have on the... I was going through your photo gallery earlier and just looking at some of the pictures and program schedules and neat stuff for people who are into the whole nostalgia and romance of radio. This... You really do a great job.
Ray Edwards, the host of the Radio Brothers podcast. You can find him online at radiobrothers.com.
Latch on to the action with
fun
and fancy free WKNR.
The week that Johnny Carson left us, we did a tribute podcast to the great Tonight Show host, and one of the pieces we featured was a parody of the Tonight Show as performed by The Credibility Gap. After the program, I received an email from James Keating asking about an ultra-rare Credibility Gap remake of a famous 50s comedy routine. It featured David Lander and Michael McKean, the two guys who played Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley. As far as we know, the bit has never been released on any CD, but we found it and are delighted to share it with you now. Listen closely and see how long it takes you to figure out just what classic comedy routine they are recreating.
The following incident takes place in the advertising department of the Los Angeles Times.
Yeah, hello, Louise. Yes. Did that rock and roll promoter ever show? What rock and roll promoter? You know, the one who's going to take out the full-page ad. Did he ever show? I bet he didn't. Oh, he did, huh? Well, will you please tell him that he is 6 minutes late by my watch, and my watch is 5 minutes fast? Yes, tell him that. Well, you have... I don't know what that comes... Just have him figure it out. Will you please send him in? Thank you. I can't believe these people. They either show up or they don't show up, or they show up or they don't show up, or they...
Excuse me,
show...
Mr. Hickenlooper?
Yes, I'm Walter Hickenlooper.
Yeah, how you do? My name is Danny Drollinger. I'm with Conquest Concerts. We do all the big rock and roll shows, you know, in the outlying areas. We did Festival de Salsa at the Orange Show Auditorium. You know, all that stuff. We've done business with you people before.
Well, yeah.
And I came down here personally today because I want a huge full-page ad. We're doing a very big rock show out of the Big O.
The Big O? What is that, Winchell's Donuts?
What's the problem, sir? Are you new to the area?
No.
Well, everybody around here knows there's the Big A, the Big O, the Big I. Mm-hmm. The Big A is Anaheim Stadium.
That I know.
The Big O is Ontario Motor Speedway.
Ah, Ontario Motor Speedway.
Okay.
What's the Big I?
That's me.
Yeah,
you can write that down if you want.
No, I'm not going to put that
Well, it won't hurt to remember
listen,
it. You know, I'm going to be around in town for a while.
Right.
Okay, anyway, look. It's a very, very different kind of rock and roll show. No smoke bombs, no lasers, and most important, no opening acts.
Uh-huh.
Just three headline supergroups.
Oh, my goodness.
Boom, 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 like that, you know?
Boom, boom, yes.
So I want them to have equal belling, equal weight.
All right, well, the easiest way to do that is why don't we just list them in the order they appear. How's that? One, two, and three.
Good idea.
Okay,
I like
fine.
The way you work.
Well, thank you very much,
Maybe we'll
sir.
Do some business with you in the future.
I sure hope so.
Okay.
All right, well, let's start with the first act, shall we?
Fine.
Okay, who's on first?
Mr. Hickenlooper, if my secretary has already given you the information, you know, there's no sense for me to be here. I could be out booking Sly in Spokane.
I know.
So if you got it...
No, wait a minute. Yeah. I just said who's on first.
That's right.
Ah,
you
that's
see,
right. Oh, I like that name. That's right. It's so affirmative. It's so sure of itself.
Don't write that's right. That's wrong.
That's wrong. Oh, it's a bit more negative, I suppose, with these times and all. That's wrong.
Mr. Hagenlooper?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that's right. It's not that's wrong.
Well, then, who's on first?
Who's on first?
Who is on first?
Who is on first?
Who?
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 Who's on first?
That's right.
That's right. I got it down here.
You look, Mr. Hickenlooper. Mm-hmm. You get on the Pomona Freeway. You drive your car out to Ontario Motor Speedway. You get out. You give the man the ticket. You sit down in your seat. The guy on stage comes out and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present who?"
Who?
That's right.
That's right. All right. It's a fine group as far as I'm concerned. You're upset, right?
You could say I'm upset.
We're having a communication problem. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
Let's just get this straight before my quaalude kicks in, okay? That's all I ask.
Fine. All right. Let's just. Well, then we'll start with the second act.
Fine.
I don't know why I didn't suggest this to begin with. Okay. Who's on second?
Who's on first?
Wait a minute. What's the name of the second act?
Guess who?
I'm not familiar with the genre here.
I don't have any genre. Look, it's just three rock and roll acts. Guess who?
Give me a chance. The Dingling Sisters.
They're not even sisters, Mr. Hickenlooper. Guess who?
Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods.
I am not running no goddamn Busch Gardens, pal. Let's get that straight. This is Conquest Concerts. Okay. Nothing but class.
Okay.
Guess who?
I can't guess who.
You don't have to guess who.
Well, then I won't guess who.
So don't guess who.
All right.
I will tell you something frankly, sir.
What?
I didn't have this much trouble with the Free Press.
Oh. You didn't, huh? Well, I'll tell you something frankly, sir. I didn't have this much trouble with the Music Center, and they put on Rigoletto one year.
That's four acts.
Not the year they did it. All right, now let's just move on to the third act, huh? Will you please tell me the name of the third act?
Yes.
Fine.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Let me see a proof of the act Wednesday, and we'll be...
Where are you going? Wait a minute. I asked you to tell me the name of the third act.
I told you the name of the third act. You want me to tell you again?
Yes.
That's right.
That's right, on first.
Who's on first? Guess who's on second in the third act?
Yes.
That's right. What's your problem?
I've been writing for 11 minutes. I got nothing on the paper. That's my problem. Why don't you take the paper, you take the pen, and you write it down?
Are you crazy? If I could write, I wouldn't have had to steal this bit.
I would. Ooh.
Keener 13. WKNR.
And now, a request for the voice of New Year's Rockin' Eve. Keener's Pat St. John still has many fans in the Detroit area, and Tina wrote us to request an air check of Pat's final WKNR program. While time has tarnished the sound quality a bit, nothing can take away from Pat's smooth delivery and total technical excellence.
It's 2:35, WKNR, much more music time. Pat St. John, from his album, This is McCartney.
More guitar.
One of the most together albums in quite a while. It's McCartney. By McCartney. It's 2:38 at WKNR. Tune Keener for weather. Chance of showers this morning, below in the mid-60s. Warm and humid today with occasional afternoon thunder showers likely. The high should be near 80. It's 74 degrees in Detroit. Here with Pat St. John and the number three song, These Are the Moments, and Love on a Two-Way Street, baby.
I found love on a two-way street.
Those are the moments, the number three from WKNR. It's called Love on a Two-Way Street. It's 2:41 WKNR. Much more music time with Pat St. John. Tonight at 7, dig Skip Broussard on Keeter. This is Neil Diamond and Suleiman.
Come here, come see.
So far away.
The long and winding.
Weekend with Keeter's Pat St. John.
WKNR.
Now,
with the sound of Springwell and the Lennon McCartney song. When I do, it's for you. It's 3:02. Good afternoon. This is Pat St. John on Keener. WKNR music continues. The LP is L.A. Woman, Jim Morrison, and The Doors on WKNR. And don't you love her love melody? St. John. I thank WKNR for the most enjoyable 2 years of my life. After over 1,000 shows on Keener, thanks for listening. And for the last time, thank you for letting me be myself again.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my love stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you.
I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly. Through me, 'cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you.
You taught me precious secrets of a truth withholding nothing. You came out in front, and I was hiding. And if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there.
He came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there space or time. I love you for in my life you are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together, we were alone and I was singing this song for you. We were alone and I was singing a song for you.
Be it Leon Russell, Natalie Cole, Joe Cocker, or Karen Carpenter, hundreds of love affairs began to the strains of A Song for You, the final tune on the last Pat St. John radio program on WKNR. And that's our All Request Keener 13 podcast. Thanks to everyone who sent us feedback on our first 18 shows. And we hope you'll click the contact link at www.keener13.com whenever you feel like passing on a word or two. Thanks to Ray Edwards of the Radio Brothers podcast for being this week's guest. To Jonathan Wolford at Jam Creative Productions for allowing us to use the original Pam's Keener jingles. And to all the men and women who created the Keener magic that lives on to this very day. We leave you with a request for something a bit beyond the Keener era. A great live recording from the Spinners. I'm Scott Westerman. Thanks for listening.
Once there was a boy and girl. Boy said, I love you, sir. Girl said, I never leave you. They threw hunger and left each other. That's the way love goes. That's the way love goes. And then there's a time, seems like you never find someone you can love. You keep on. At the end of a rainbow, there's no sign in the sky to follow. That's the way love goes. That's the way love goes. And then there's a time, seems like you never find someone you can love. You keep on.
In whole or in part
without the written consent.